Yeah. Just 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Okay, oh, it's on. Where's the mic? In the front? The back? Oh, right here? Hello. Okay, well, welcome to our last and final session of our 13-week marathon course in...
You don't have to hold that.
Okay, sorry. This is your voice, sir. Yes. So, can I just... Yeah, let me move on.
Yeah.
So, welcome to our... What week was this? Our 13th week? 14th? 14th? No, we started last... What week is this?
Six.
This is our 16th week. We started on the first day, right, of last semester, last quarter? Okay. Well, okay, today's last, we're going to wrap it up, and we've guaranteed that once you go through this session, you're going to walk out, you're happily married, okay, and, you know, dating somebody. If not, we'll give you your money back, okay? No, I'm just kidding. For newcomers. Okay, we've been going through a topic about relationships, and it wasn't so much about how to date, how to be loving towards the other person. We went through scripture. I just want to briefly cover this to make it clear. So many people are not consumed with the right things. Or let's put it this way, many people are consumed with the wrong thing. They're paying attention to the wrong part of life. You look at life, you're born, you become a Christian, and you die. Okay? Next to being saved, there's the other joy of being what? Of married. Okay? Call this marriage. Now, typically, we're hoping that this will happen. You become a Christian first, and then you get married. Okay? Or soon afterwards. But if you look at it this way, I'm just going to erase this right now, just to make a point. Okay? Let me move it up a little. Okay? Let's see, this is marriage, okay? So let's say this is about age 25, okay? Just average. You're going to get married around 25, okay? Earlier, the better, 21, 22. Late, but better than never, okay? Right? Basically, this is our youth, okay? No, wait, how did I draw it last time? Okay, I'm going to do this one. This is the biblical version. Okay. This is marriage, the day of marriage, we'll call it M. Basically, up to that point, you are preparing to get what? To get married. Okay? The Bible doesn't have like a separate segment on life called what?
Dating.
Okay? Well, you know, some people have a lot. I have about 26, okay? Alright? And so there's this worldly idea that... That in life, there's birth, there's childhood, and then there's this romantic period where you can kind of get what you want in terms of pleasure or amount of self-esteem with regards to how many girlfriends you have or whatever, and then you get married, and then you start living your what? Married life. Okay? The Bible only has basically two. Childhood and what? Adulthood. And if you're given the gift of celibacy, which... It's great, but not for me, okay? And not for you, right? If you have the gift of celibacy, you'll live single for the rest of your life. But the Bible has it clear. There's no, like, this middle section of what? Of dating. It is not some special period in your life where people get so fixated. It's as in your youth, you're preparing for what? Maturity or adulthood. And part of that is learning to be a godly husband or a godly what? Godly wife. Now, obviously, in that path toward that marriage, you're going to have to meet somebody, okay? You're going to have to see someone, and that's different with every culture, circumstance. Some people, they just look at each other, they want to get married. Mine, first day, marriage was boom. Actually, she thinks it's third day, but I think it was first day, right? Okay? Other people, they got to, like, go for, like, 3 years. Oh, I think now I should marry you, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is this. Rather than focusing on the goal, which is what? Which is marriage, the world has placed its focus not on marriage, but on what? The dating period. How many young guys and young girls sit for hours upon hours to envision their perfect dating life? right? I know guys are so into figuring out how a woman thinks or how a guy thinks. They're so emotional. They're so like, yeah, but if I... So girls are like this. So if I treat them like this, they might like me more or whatever. If I give them flowers. And then they ask questions to other people who are dating. So how did you get her to like you, you know? How did you kind of like sneak the bait in? How did you trap her? And, you know, how did you like, you know, and get her to just, you know, fall over you and head over yours, whatever. And they, and some, if they're wise, they'll just say, yeah, I just, you know, asked her out. They say yes. And they're like, does it? Other guys who worldly say, yeah, you know what, I chased after her, I called her like every single day on the phone, I wrote her love letters, blah, 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 and then she started to break, you know. And you said that Korean statement, you chop the tree as long, wait, how does it go? You swing the axe long enough and the tree would eventually what? Fall. Sisters, do you like that? Do you like that idea that men have such confidence that the more they hit you, you eventually go, I can't love you now, you know, and just fall over?
No.
Well, okay. Do you, Andrea? No. But there is this desire in all women, oh, I want to be chased. Okay, I don't know, maybe. Basically, what I'm saying is the focus is on the wrong what? It's on the wrong thing. 101 ways to be a great boyfriend. How to make her fall in love with you. Tarot cards. Push love potion number what? Number 9. Wear this fragrance and all the guys will look at you. Okay? Wear this cologne and, you know, right? And all these young kids wearing Axe. It's so funny, right? These little kids, they have no idea, but they watch a commercial. They put on Axe. You know, the AX, you know, you guys know what that is. Axe body spray or whatever. And all these girls are like, oh. So they all go and buy it thinking it's not working, right? And they're like, okay, hey, how you doing, you know, and it's like they're all, everyone's consumed with the wrong thing. They consume our consumption. I was about to say our consumption, okay? We should be consumed more with how to be a godly husband and a godly wife and how to simply relate to the opposite what? Is a gender. Okay? And scripture definitely talks about that. There's no like chapter 3, dating. It's chapter 1, God made Adam and Eve. Chapter 2, chapter 1, he made all 6 days, okay? Everything in it. Chapter 2, he goes back and fills the details. Adam and Eve, and then marriage. And then all throughout the scripture, you see conflict between relationships. And you go to the end of you go to Ephesians, and then now you see that the church and Christ, the relationship is to be modeled in the family between the husband and what? The wife. And then at the end of it all in Revelation, you have the marriage between Christ and what? The church. It's all about marriage. It's all about marriage. It's not about, okay, how do I do this? It's no, eventually I will get married, God will bring you together. It's how will I prepare for relating with the opposite gender. And so we went through the scripture particulars. Now, if there is one chapter where it'll deal with a so-called, and I'm going to just use the generic term dating, okay? Just not the worldly dating. I'm just saying dating or courting. Call it whatever you want. In our church, we're going to call it on the way to marriage. Where obviously, before you get married, you're going to have to get close to an opposite gender, right? And generically, we're just going to call it dating. Okay, we're not going to use, you know, in the worldly sense, just generically, okay? We're just going to call it a man and a woman serious about marriage, and they're going to pursue that. So the closest passage that we can get in terms of premarital relationship with the opposite gender is 1 Thessalonians 4. Turn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because this deals directly with the opposite gender before what? Before marriage. Okay? Before marriage. Look at verse 3. This is what? The will of God. Okay? We just stop there for a moment. This is the will of God. This is where we ended last week. Okay? Right now, let me make it very clear. This is the will of God. This is, can you say it again?
This is.
Okay, now people ask me, what is God's will for me? Well, this is the will of God. Okay? I like this girl. Is it God's will that I marry her? This is the will of God. But you haven't answered my question, Pastor. I said, I did. This is the... Meaning, the question is not, is she to be my what? Wife. We ought not to ask that what? Question. It's just like that Paul Chin situation. Should you doubt your salvation just because you go up and down? No. You're asking the wrong question. If you say, is that person right for me? You're asking the wrong what? Question. Because you don't know. You know? Is Pauline to be my wife? I don't know. But do I still want to marry her? Then does she want to marry me? Yes. Okay. What is God's will then in a relationship between a man and a woman? This is the will of God. What is it? Verse 3. Your what? Your sanctification. God's will is your what? I don't know if that person's going to be my wife. I don't know. I said, well, why don't you know? I don't know. Well, do you like her? I don't know. What are you dating her for then? Get out of the relationship. Oh, I don't know. Get out of my... You know. This is the will of God. You like that person. You pursue that person for marriage. Okay. Here's marriage. Okay. Here's when you met her or met him. Okay. And you guys are, you know, whatever, falling in love, you know, desiring one another. You want to be with each other. That process, however long this timeline might be, this is the will of God. Meaning, you like them, they like you, they're both Christians, you both want to get married, get married! It's as simple as that. Pastor Chipo, you don't understand. I don't know if I'm compatible. Can we not go through the 21 compatibility test? They have that on eHarmony, right? 39 dimensions of, how do I know this? I don't know it, okay? Alright? I don't know it. I'm not even logged on. Okay, maybe? Alright? I know my friends were threatening me to sign me out without me knowing it. They were going to use their credit card. And I remember this one sister that I was talking to. She lives in Pennsylvania. She might be actually listening to this, but you don't need to know her name. But I was talking to her. I said, hey, are you on eHarmony? She's like, how'd you know? And then she, you know, logged off and she canceled her account and she didn't pay. And, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I mean, she was so embarrassed though. I embarrassed her so much. Okay? It's okay. It's okay. Okay, look. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to use eHarmony, that's fine. 39 dimensions of love, whatever. But that's not the will of God. This is... The issue is not compatible. If you're not compatible, how do you know? Do you fight every time you get together? Yeah. Get away from each other then. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know? Yeah, but she's pretty. Oh, that's called lust. But every time you get together, you fight, you argue, you want to do this, she does that. You want to... Well, I mean, how do we know we're meant for each other? You're like, you want to go into this career, she wants to go into that career, and you know you can't live with each other for 10 years. Obviously, but she's so pretty, he's so handsome. Well, what are you telling me? It's, you're not being what? Right? If you're attracted to their body, their facial structure, their hair color, which is okay, but if that's what's drawing you, but I can handle it on a bad personality. No. No, this is the will of God, you're what? That's it. You know, people make it so hard. You know? If you don't think you're compatible, break up. But you know why you don't break up? Because you don't think you have another chance. You're all scared. Oh my God. This might be my last chance, you know? Before I hit 31. Okay, at 31, you definitely got to get married without... No, I'm just kidding. Okay? What I'm trying to say, look, let's read. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And what does it say here? That is, you abstain from sexual what? Immorality. Now he gets a very specific.
Okay? Oh. Okay?
Abstain from sexual morality. Now, you gotta take it piece by piece. Meaning, when it says this is the will of God, there is no debate here. You cannot debate this. This has got to be the foundation of how you view the opposite gender. If you cannot view them with purity, then I would say just stay away from them and just get married, just blindly. Just go on an arranged marriage, okay? Because how are you supposed to relate to that other person? The priority is that you understand this is something that you cannot compromise. Your sanctification, okay, now this is the specific part. You guys see that? Meaning, it's not just this that God is aiming at. This is saying, specifically in a context of a relationship with a woman or a man. But you take this out, generally, God wants you to be what? What does sanctification mean? Huh? Holy. Absolutely holy. Pure. Okay? Set. A literal translation is set apart, but it's not as strong. Okay? But the lexical definition is set apart. Meaning, what God wants of your life is you being consumed with Him. Psalm 37, verse 4. What does it say? Let's turn. Psalm 37, verse 4. Let's read that together. Psalm 37, verse 4. 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. Now, when we read God's Word, we read it loud. This is God's Word, okay? We together voice. So let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Notice, your sanctification, because God is what? Holy. He's saying, my will for your life. If you want to know if you are in the will of God, you ask yourself, am I pursuing this with utmost passion? Am I consumed with being holy, pure, ultimately being what? Set apart. Okay. Is this your purpose in life? That's what it's saying. If when you say this is the will of God, this is defining your life's purpose. Okay? People say, well, I want to know what God wants me to do. Yeah? Yeah? Do you want to know what God wants you to do? Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, what job or what career. Okay, we'll get there. Is this not even your concern? Well, I'm trying, but, you know, I'm just a human being. I'm not perfect. Oh, really? Yeah, you have that attitude? And you know what? God's not going to tell you what you want to do. Go back to that passage. Delight yourself in the Lord, and what's the result? He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Now, the word desire is very tricky because a lot of people think the word desire is equated with what? No? Oh, don't desire that chocolate. Oh, God. I desire her. I desire him. We think of it as evil. But this desire is not evil, it's neutral. It's saying, when you delight in God, He will give you what to what? Desire. He'll give you certain desires you want to go after. And so, let's say that, you know, you want to go after a career of economics and business or whatever, then do that. You look at that, let's say that TV, forget about that TV, okay? Okay?
Red Megan.
Okay. And, okay. You know, man, I like her hair. Nope. And here's his midget. And he's looking at her. He said, you know, he comes up to me, right? He goes, hey, Pastor Chi, how do I know it's possible for me to ask her out? I said, what's her name? He goes, I don't know.
Lianta?
You know? Do you know anything about her? No, I just saw her in the street. I said, are you even concerned? What are you attracted about? When a guy says that, you know what he's saying? I like her for her what? Her hair. Physical features. She's fine. She's fine. She's what? Mine. Okay? NFCs. Man, I'm saying it. Okay? God said, you desire me first, or you set yourself apart to me, I will give you your what? Desire. Now, as sinful creatures, we have to be really, still have to be careful, because not every desire is good. But he's saying, the question is not, what should I do this or this or that? It's, your question is, am I fully pursuing this? Am I consumed with being a godly man and a woman? Am I every single day trying to put aside ungodly deeds? But if your attitude is more like, well, I'm a sinner, I'll never get this right, then you're out of the God. You're totally out of the will of God. You're dangerous. I will not trust you with another woman. And if you're a woman and you're not concerned about sanctification, I will not trust you with another what? With another man. Because what's the issue about dating in the world's culture? Dating's the time when you can experiment with her body before getting what? Generally speaking, not everybody, but generally, you know what I'm talking about, right? Look at all the TV shows. Everything is about premarital relational situation with the flesh. And so if the foundation's not set, if your desire is not absolute purity, you're not ready for what? Marriage. Because before you get married, okay, you're going to fall. Now, we're going to see something crazy here, because if you mess with the other gender before you get married, God will not let you go. There are certain things in Scripture that God makes clear. You do this, I'll take vengeance on you. And this is one of them. And in college, people say things like, oh, I don't know, the girl, there's people dressed like this, especially with summer. I can tell, like, you know, walking through college or, you know, just when the temperature changes, everything comes off. You know, I remember freshman year, oh, this was so discouraging. Guys from KCM, you know, the older guys, they're like walking around like, oh, I'm the upperclassman, you know, this and that. And I was, just fresh off the boat, you know, high school kid, and I was walking in, and I was talking to this older brother. He's like, yeah, it's summertime, and this is when girls start flashing their flesh. And then I was like, well, isn't that bad? He's like, you know, just, man, we gotta understand them. You know, we gotta understand them. And I looked at him, I said, you pervert. No, I wouldn't understand them. So you're saying you like that. A man's heart and a woman's heart is complete and pure what? Sanctification. No lust, no thought of greed, immorality, or anything of that matter. Your goal, okay, from the moment you become a Christian, is what? Sanctification. Holiness. It is your drive. You are literally driven to the day you die. You don't need a book that says purpose-driven life. We know what our purpose is. This is the what? Are you guys with me on that? You don't need to even know what your career ought to be. You don't even know what your major ought to be. You should be consumed with this. Because this is the what? I don't know if I'm repeating myself. You guys get the point? This is important. Don't sit there and say, oh, you know, I don't know what major to choose, whatever. You ask yourself, why am I so consumed with this other than purity? Ask yourself, go throughout the day, from the moment you wake up, is your goal purity? When you put your head on the pillow and you're about to close your eyes, is your mind set on being pure before God and even having pure dreams before God and say, I will be pure, pure, pure. Sanctification is my goal. I want to be pure and holy because God is what? Holy. If that's not it, you're out of the will of God. So we haven't even got to this part yet. And Psalm 37 verse 4 makes it clear, you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you what? Direction. He'll give you your desires. Okay? He'll move you. And does God move us according to our desires? Yes! Is it God's will for me to go to this restaurant or this restaurant? What do you want to eat? I'm scared of deciding what I want. I want to be an unselfish Christian man. God, In-N-Out or Burger King? Please, Lord, let Thy will be done. You know, I want to be holy. What do you want to do? No, my desire is bad. I don't want to be selfish. I just want God to tell me what to do. You know, just wake up. Just choose by based on what you want. Is that okay? Yes. Okay, there's Mary and there's Jennifer. They're both beautiful. They're both godly. They both read their Bibles. They're both obedient. They're both genuinely saved. Which one are you going to choose? I want God to choose for me. Lord. And you know what guys do usually? Because they're cowards. They talk to each one and they figure out which one likes them best. Oh, I think she's more nicer to me. And they kind of ease up on that. Rather than being a man and saying, hey, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. I know you don't like me, but I like you. Date me right now. Okay? No? Okay, fine. Thank you. Then just walk off. Okay? Now that's okay. That's how guys are supposed to do things, okay? You're supposed to walk up, take the consequence. If it's good, praise God. If it's not, praise God. You've eliminated one choice. Right? One option. God will not tell you exactly who to marry. But God will tell you, your goal must be what? Together? That is your goal. In every way. Purity of motive, purity of thought, purity of action. Everything's got to be pure. God wants you to be like Him. Okay. And that is what your concern should be. But, in case you're involved with another person in terms of relationship, your sanctification clearly means you abstain from what? And the Greek word for sexual morality, porneia. Where we get the word from what? Pornography. And this is not saying fornication. It's saying any kind of sex sin. Any physical activity with the opposite gender that involves immorality. Okay. You know, people ask me, you know, the day of marriage, right? How far... This is, you know, well, just... a marriage bed, okay? Okay? We'll call it intercourse. Right? And you're right here. This is marriage. And everyone's question is, how close can we get? Well, what can we do when we're dating? Well, not much. Is your goal, if the will of God is sanctification, right? Should you even be asking the question, how far can we what? Go. Yes or no? No, you wouldn't even be asking that. You would rather be asking, how far can we stay what? Away. You know, like first, you know, I remember when I was a kid, elementary school was so bad. That's where we, already we're talking about first base, second base, third base, fourth base, you know, whatever. But I still don't know what each one is, except like first base, I think, is what, holding hands or something. Second base is kissing, and third base is whatever. And it just gets really, really moral and gross. It's, you're not even supposed to play baseball. Okay, you're not even supposed to play. The marriage bed, turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Let's read that together. Okay. Count 3, 1, 2, 3. The marriage bed is to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will
judge. Now, that's a repetition of 1 Thessalonians 4. You'll see that God will judge. Meaning, make no mistake, you touch her, you will be judged immediately. Whether it be in the future, in the time to come, there will be judgment. Notice, the marriage bed must be held in honor. Meaning, the marriage bed indicates not just intercourse, but any physical intimacy between a husband and a wife is to be preserved there. And so, there's not much you can do. And I don't even have to make a list of what you can do. Now, when, you know, there are couples in our church, you know, when Frank and Megan start to date, I sat them down and said, all right, one seat apart. See, they're doing that already. That's good. Okay? You know, you can only, you know, hold a string. Okay? Make sure you hold a string. And you can hold one end. And you can hold the other end. And we'll call that holding hands. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. Right? But we went through the details in that situation, but I don't need to go all that. I said, it's absolute what? Purity. Whatever a husband and wife will do in their marriage bed, that's pure. Anything outside of that is considered defilement. It is not abstaining from sexual what? Immorality. So there must be absolute purity in a situation right before marriage, but after involving yourself in a relationship with the opposite gender. We'll generically call that dating period. You know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Or fiancé. Okay? And so this idea is that you are consumed with God. And so a person who's consumed with God, involving himself with another person, will abstain from this. Because their concern is not trying to get closer to the other girl or the man. Trying to find each inch of his arm around her. His desire, since I'm concerned about my sanctification, I will also be concerned with her or his sanctification. Does that make sense? What should a couple do before marriage? Encourage each other to become even more what? Sanctified. Does that make sense? Today in our culture, this idea of boyfriend, girlfriend is such a... I use it, just to kind of just, you know, play around, you know, and make fun of them, but just think about it. What does the world's definition of boyfriend, what does that mean? It has an idea of possession, right? Oh, he's taken. He's what? My boyfriend. Oh, she's taken. Oh, everyone, this is my, what, girlfriend, you know? Now, there's an appropriate place where you do, you know, introduce them as like that, because you don't want, you know, people don't know to, you need to protect her, but this idea that you're mine now is wrong. You are not each other's until you actually, what, seal the deal in marriage. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, your body is not your own. Do you guys remember that? No? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Once you get married, there's no independence. Okay? You've lost your freedom. You've changed yourself. But in biblical terms, you've become more freer because you're married, because you're now complete in Christ. Well, metaphorically speaking, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says here, now, verse 1, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own what? His own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband, not multiple men. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife does not have authority over her own what? Her own body and the husband, but the husband does. Likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another. That's only for people who are what? Married. But today in our culture, right, once you start dating, immediately that person's body, in their mind, becomes what? Theirs? And it's even like this. I've seen movies where the guy is trying to touch her, get close to her, and then she shows some form of like dignity. Like, no, it's not the time yet. You're not officially my boyfriend. as if she's got the power to control her own body, right? But that's a fallacy too, because her body does not belong to her. She's set apart unto who? God. Meaning, girls, you must make it clear, this body belongs to the Lord. It's not yours until you're married to me. Right? It's like this. Guys pursue, trying to get as close to the woman, and then the girl, if she wants to, slowly opens up to you. Like, as if she's got the authority over her body. No, that's wrong. It's I belong to God. And the guy respects that. You belong to God, and vice versa. Until, now when you get married, God actually makes you into one what? One flesh. And you're through. You have no private possession. It's you're one another's now. Okay? But prior to marriage, you can't. And so already you get a picture of what this relationship is to be like. It is not some romantic, holding hands, hugging, kissing, physical relationship. It is a Christian brother and a Christian sister who want to be sanctified in that relationship and walk toward the day when they will be married and she will wear white. And be what? Pure, amen? Now if you need applications, I can give you plenty. If you don't get what this means, I can tell you what to do. Right? Don't wear makeup. Wear a bag over your head. When you sit in the car, don't even look at each other. We're gonna customize your car. We're gonna put a glass window there. Okay, it's bulletproof so you don't reach over. Okay. When you go on date, I will definitely go with you. All right. Okay. If you want all the you want to be sanctified, you don't know what to do. Meaning, think. Obviously, get yourselves out of situations where those things will be compromised. I remember one time my brother was there. I kind of shared this a long time ago, but I have to do it very carefully. I remember just, even as a man, the struggle of being in a private place with an opposite gender. Okay, that Proverbs says there's six things I don't understand. Seven that's too wonderful. And one of those things King Solomon is saying is a man with a what? With a maiden. Things happen when a man and woman are alone and it's kind of dark and they're secluded from the rest of the public. Yeah, it's romantic. It's just between you two. But things will happen and you need to think. Applicationally, if I want to be sanctified, I should avoid that. I should avoid situations like that. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, we're driving and we're alone and there's just trees. Ah! You just jump out of the car. Okay? There's times when you have to be in a situation like that. But what I'm saying is don't unnecessarily place yourself in those situations because you won't be able to control yourself. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. Let's finish this up. See, we don't have to spend our time dealing with step by step. We just look at the principle, and that principle will guide us in how we are to behave with one another. Notice. Okay. Verse 3. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Verse 4. That each of you know how to possess his own what? This is okay. His own. Okay. What does this mean? It just means self-control. Your vessel just means body, your physical body. How do you maintain purity? Well, you don't tell the girlfriend, "Hey, I've heard guys say that. Girlfriend, I'm having a problem with lust. Can you make sure that I be pure?" No, Bible, what does the Bible say? First of all, this is the will of God. Stupid. You know what I'm saying? But what are you saying? You're telling the girl you're lusting after and you want her to prevent you from, you know, going too far? This is the will of God, your sanctification. You abstain from sin. And if I'm not clear, you control your own what? Your body. You are not dependent on the other person to keep you what? Pure. You learn to control your body. Okay? You learn. Guys and girls. Don't say, oh yeah, I really love him because he's so self-controlled. Me, I'm not very self-controlled. And you don't belong. I'll tell the guy, get out of the relationship. Why, Pastor? She's got no self-control. She admitted it. And he was like, guys, don't ever say that to Pastor. She will never get to date, you know? Now think about it. Will you develop your possession of your own vessel the moment you start dating? No, just think about it. The moment you're born, you're out of control, right? Baby pees whenever he wants. That's not self-control. I remember, my brother, he's what? How old is he? I'm 31, he's 21. You're not 21 yet. 20 years ago. Little, 6 months. He was changing his diaper, took off his diaper, and he just peed on his face. Self-control! This is the will of God. Your vessel, Isaac, what are you doing? All throughout. Sorry, anyway, I'm embarrassing you. Okay? But I remember my dad is like, oh, yeah, 이거 멋있다, you know. I was like, Dad, it's gross. He's like, oh, 애기 피는 깨끗해. Alright. Alright, I should stop right here. Let's delete this out of the. Okay? No self-control. What do you gotta do, right? You gotta get a whip and you gotta smack him into control. No. Every day you're controlling this out of control human creature. Okay? So when he's born, it's self-control, discipline. All your life, you're disciplining your what? Your body. How? You beat it. 1 Corinthians 9. You want to know how to control your body? You need to beat it up sometimes. Okay? Now don't go out and buy that Catholic, whipping belt, that you saw in that movie. I read the book and this is the movie, but whipping himself, that's not it, okay? It says right here, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one received the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises what? Self-control. The Christian life is a life in the will of God of exercising self-control. You will never be sanctified. You can't be sanctified without self-control. There's no way. People think, oh, I'll be more sanctified if I just read the Bible more. If I just pray more. Well, look, even that requires self-control, right? And how do you develop self-control? By practicing self-control. It's just discipline. Meaning you got to do it over and over. And they say that by statistics, by survey, it takes you how long to develop a habit? 21 days. 21 days of the same activity, you will develop self-control. Or to a certain extent, it will become a habit. I have to admit, I've read the Bible 15 times now. Genesis to Revelation, every year, 5 times a day. It's not easy. Self-control is not habitual. Self-control is when it's not a habit, you force yourself. And Paul says right here, verse 26, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, meaning I have a goal. What is it? I want to fulfill the will of God, my what? Sanctification. I have a goal. I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I discipline. The word discipline is buffet. I bruise my body, make it my slave. After I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And if you go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, possessing your vessel is the same idea. I control my body. Or let's put it this way. I put my body under the control of who? The Holy what? The Holy Spirit. I force my body to obey the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Obeying the Holy Spirit's words, which is the Bible. So, you want to ask me, oh, Pastor Xi, should I date this guy? He asked me out. I look at it. I said, you know what? I don't think he has self-control. I know he looks cute. He's got that charming little smile. I know he's got some big buff arms. You know, he has no self-control. I haven't seen him strive after his sanctification. I think you should say no. Now, that's just an advice. You can say yes. I'm not forcing you. I'm not a cult leader. Okay, I'm not going to do arranged marriages, whatever. I'm giving you my advice. You get yourself in that situation, you're like, well, I'm going to teach him self-control. I said, oh yeah? You're going exactly opposite to what the Bible is what? Saying. Does that make sense? I know a lot of girls who say, oh, I know this guy's not coming to church, but I'm going to make him. He loves me. He'll follow me wherever I go. So, yeah. Then you're telling me you're disobeying who? Because you need to possess your what? Your own vessel. So that means if you want to figure out if that person is good or not, you look at their life. Do they have self-control? Is their life orderly? Is their life somewhat together? I mean, we're not going to be perfect, but is he striving? You know, you're seeing him pursue with diligence. Okay, he's fallen, but he gets back up, and then he has a problem with this, so he takes care of that. He has an issue with laziness, so he takes care of this. He has an issue with his handwriting. He's actually trying to write well. He's pursuing a life of sanctification. If that's the case, hey, go for him. Go for her. You need to possess your own vessel. And what that means is, you're not to live according to the lust of your flesh. You must learn not to do what you want to do, but what is right. And if you want to do what's right, praise God, but more often than not, our bodies want to do what is what? What is wrong. And it is imperative that a young man learn how to control the passions of his heart, and a woman, her passions of her heart. And they're like, but I feel so strongly about him. I feel so strongly attracted to her. Well, you feel, you just admitted, you've confessed, you've just confessed your sin. You're attracted by your feeling, which is in the Bible called what? Lust. When feelings can't be controlled, it's called lust. Okay? That's not love. It's not biblical. Look at verse 5. Here's some reasons why. It says not... Okay, so verse 4. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in lustful passions like the who? Gentiles. You're a Christian and you're acting like an unbeliever. You're acting like a Gentile. Guys, I might be stepping on someone's toes, but look, you read, you know, Shakespeare, you watch Korean dramas, and you envisioning your dating relationship to be like that, you are acting like a what? Like a Gentile. You know, where do you get across by saying, oh, it's got to be done like this, I hope the guy will ask me out in this way, just like this drama. Well, you're acting like a Gentile. And so many people watch these things, read novels, oh, this is the way the romance is to occur. As if romance is required to start a relationship, is it? And you know, some people are so lost in this worldly idea that you give them biblical truth, they're so like, I don't understand any difference. I want it this way. Some girls are so bent on wanting it this way. Some guys are so bent on wanting it this particular way. No, you're acting like a what? You know, and young people always ask me this question. Well, I don't feel that attracted toward him. I know he's godly. I know he's, you know, good looking. But I don't feel anything for him. I don't have this, you know, this. I don't feel it. You're acting like a what? A lustful Gentile. You're 29. You have no more choice. Okay. For women, you have 26. Your chances of getting married are like if this is like 10%, this is like negative. He's a decent young man. He's about 33. All right. I know he's a little bit balding. He's got some white hair. He likes you. Wants to take care of you. You're 29, and there's no one on the face of this planet. He says, marry me. I think you should marry him. Well, but what's your complaint? I just don't feel attracted toward him. You guys ever looked at arranged marriages? Can you imagine the fear? You know? In that custom back then, you didn't even get to see what your wife looks like. She's got her head all covered up, right? Your dad said, come in here, you're going to get married, son.
Oh, God.
Out comes and you're like, it's kind of big. is that like the inward decoration? And it's like, how come I can't see her? You see her foot, you're like, it kind of looks pretty, but and then you get married, and then until that night, you don't get to take the veil off, and you just, and now you gotta live for the rest of the, what are you gonna say? I don't feel anything about her. You know, a lot of arranged marriages work out. So it's not an issue of, I need to feel this. It's saying right here, like you're not in lustful what? Passion. Call it what it is. Okay? Now, is it bad to have that kind of thing? No. I mean, if it's lustful, yeah, it's bad. But, you know, you see somebody and you like them and you just draw them. I mean, that's praise God. But it's not the determining factor. Because he's saying it's like the Gentiles who don't know God. And number six, number six. That no man transgress and defraud his what? His brother. I was like, what? Weren't you just talking about a man and a woman? What is this? You defile a woman, you're defrauding your brother? What is it saying? You defile a woman who's not your wife. Now, make this clear. Until the day you get married.
Wait, no, that's when you ask her out.
Until the day you get married, you don't know if she's going to be your what? Wife. Not even 10 minutes before the wedding ceremony. You're standing there. Because what can happen at that moment? Anything! The chandelier can fall off and kill her. I know that's kind of sad. No. What if you're standing with this girl, and then her old boyfriend walks in, and he goes, stop!
I have a child.
Oh yeah, that's a big one, okay? But let's just kind of lighten it.
I was just referring to like some
joke. Yeah, Korean drama. That. Oh, Gentile! Yeah, just kidding. No, but we'll just imagine. You're standing there like, oh, God is going to marry us. I know she's going to be my wife. And this old boyfriend comes and goes, I love you so much. I can't live without you. And the girl goes, and just runs out. And you're standing there like, she's not there. How embarrassing, right? And what does the Bible say? Do not boast about what? Tomorrow. For you don't know what a day might what. They might bring. I don't know if Pauline's going to be my wife. Do I want to marry her? Oh, yeah. Does she want to marry me? Oh, yeah. She's listening to this, too. Okay? But I can't assume anything. Does that make sense? She might be a property of another man. I'm hoping that it's me, but if I defile her, her future husband is the one who will be defrauded. Do you guys see what that means now? That's what that means. Now, I know I'm going a little bit over, but I want to finish this. I'll finish in about 5 minutes, hopefully. People go too far. Like, whoa, don't defile, don't defraud her emotion, you know. Have you guys heard that? Like, you have to have emotional purity. Like, don't take her heart from her future husband. Like, what are you talking about? You know, yeah, don't get too close to her. And then girls tell each other, girls, guard your heart. Don't fall for him. Because you might give a piece of your heart, and what if he dumps you, you know? Then you've lost your heart. Huge. Oh, stop it, you Gentile, you know? Okay? When the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, it's not talking about the emotional part, it's talking about your what? Your mind. You guard your mind from becoming worldly, going against the Lord. Guys, there's no such thing as emotional, like, purity, emotional, like, well, you've taken a piece of my heart. That's a basic, you know, romantic language. Okay? This is talking about strictly what? Sexual immorality. Is that clear? Being pure. Don't take away their sexual purity. Their virginity. Okay? So that means, can a man and a wife, man and a woman fall deeply in love in the perfect sense, right? Okay? And they're like, they're both in love. And let's just say that at the end of it all, it doesn't work out. Have they defrauded each other of emotional purity? No. They've kept each other sexually pure. Here it's saying, do not defraud your brother. Girls, don't defraud his future wife. Meaning, his body, don't defile his body for his future wife. And brothers, she might belong to another man. Don't rob him of what he deserves. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So when you're dating, you are there to keep each other pure, hoping the Lord will bring you together, and now you can be each other's in the full extent. Well, if you're like, oh, okay, is that all? Is that the biggest reason? No, the biggest reason is here. Just do not transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the what? Avenger. Do you guys know what a word avenger means? One who takes what? Vengeance. And then it says here, he's the avenger in all these things, just as we told you before, and solemnly what? Warned you. Meaning, you touch that woman and defile her, God will come after you. Her future husband might not know about it, hey, but who knows? God, and he will come and discipline you severely. God prizes a woman's purity. God prizes a man's purity. Okay. He wants people to get married in what? In holiness. But God will judge. That terrifies my heart. And then it says in verse 8, of verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So this is your calling. You want to know what your purpose in life is? Absolute purity. And look at verse 8. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but who? But the God who gives you his Holy Spirit to you. Meaning, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Your life must express holiness in every way. Okay? Now those of you who are struggling with purity, I will say this. Number one, stop watching videos. Stop watching videos. This is the main, channel through which all immorality comes into your what? Into your mind, isn't it? Am I wrong? The media is a direct tube, feeding tube into your what? That's my ear. Okay? Into your brain. And then general public. We can't avoid the public though, right? You gotta go to work, whatever. Don't read things that are impure. Sisters, you should not be reading Glamour magazine, 16 magazine, 17 magazine, 18 magazine, 19 magazine, 20, whatever. You need to be pure. And
do whatever it takes.
I remember guys in my Bible study in college, you know, when I was at Irvine, they're like, Pastor, we're going to be pure. So what are you going to do? So we're going to walk with our head down. All right? And one guy came back. He had a bruise on his head, right? He was walking. Oh my, there's a girl. Okay, so he's sitting. Oh, hits a handicap sign. And he was like on the ground, but he's suffering for Christ's sake, so praise God. Okay. You got to do something. Yeah. You got to make. Now, again, you know, they call it, I remember I read a book, you know, call it like eyes traveling. You know, you're always curious about who's there. You might need to stop that and get those horse blindfolds, you know? Okay? And just look straight. Whatever it takes. Now, that's the end of our seminar, okay? With that passage. Develop self-control, okay? And with the other person, encourage them. Now, I'm just going to give you some advices. So, after 16 weeks, this is now application. Okay? Application. How do you ask somebody out? Now, this is what you guys were waiting for. Okay? I can't do this next week because it's like, that's not Bible study, right? Because, you know, next week I'm just going to go through. No. Let me just finish this off, okay? Number one, again, this comes not from like my mind. It's coming from all the stuff we've studied. Okay? Number one, pursue a closer relationship with the opposite gender only for the purpose of marriage. Meaning, don't get too close with an opposite gender if you're not going to marry her. Girls and guys to girls. Okay, there's no point. There's no point. Okay, there's no point of getting intimate. You know, oh, but she's my best friend. We talk about everything. No. Stop that. Okay? If you are doing this right now, I would say back off. Okay, unless you want to ask her out, that is, okay? So, only for marriage. The purpose of a man and a woman, male and female, close relationship is marriage. Okay? And marriage is the closest you can get to a woman, right? And a man. You become one flesh. So practically, if you're not interested in marrying that person, stay away. Now obviously, you know, it could be friends. We gotta be really discerning about how close you get and how open you are, whatever. You know, how intimate, you know, some guys are, oh, we're just friends. We talk like until 5 in the morning, just alone, and we have no problem. Yeah, I have a problem. The Bible has a problem with that. Your closest relationship with the opposite gender is to be called your what? Your wife. Number two, some people say this. Oh, I need to spend time with her or him to know whether they're right for me. What's my answer? Yes and no. In a group setting like this, you can spend ample amount of time getting to know the other person in a group setting. Now, some churches really are strict on this. They're like, don't even date by yourself. Unless you're in a group setting, no. And I remember I asked this girl out in Grace Community Church, and straight out she told me, you are a stranger. She didn't say that. She's like, until you come and join our fellowship group and join my church, you cannot date me. I was like, I'm a pastor. I'm not saying that you should just trust me straight up, but I'm saying I have a church to go to. I have people to lead. I have no way of joining your church. She's like, well, sorry then. Okay! I want to go back and figure out. I'm not okay. Stop. Over there, because she might be listening to this. Meaning there are certain situations where it's okay to go on a blind what? Blind date. I've been on several. It sucks, by the way. It sucks. There's no joy. It's so bad.
CPK.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there was one girl who was really, 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 she straight out told me, because her blind dates were so bad, that she didn't want to come to this one. After she found out that, you know, this Prince Charming, you know, all that, she's okay, but she kind of loosened up. But I mean, when she first walked in, she was just like this. Like, tricking, because her blind days literally just blew her away. It was so sad. But there are situations where you have to go on a date with them to get to what? Know them. Ideally, it's best to meet them in the church. You're there, you're sitting there, you're not actually like on your best behavior, you're like farting in front of everybody, okay? Right? As we do, and you're not embarrassed about one another, and you're like, oh, so that's what they really are. hey, I like that, you know? So observe, watch, take note. You know, if let's say, you know, someone does ask you, you don't know that person, and there's some, you know, credibility there, yeah, I'll say it's okay. There's no black and white right now. Oh, number three, do not flirt. Do not flirt. Do not flirt. Okay? Flirting is to show superficial or casual interest, okay, for the purpose of seeing if that person likes you back. It's called cowardice. Guys, do not, you know, joyously, you know, giggly, whatever, with the other girl, and you're thinking, oh, I think she likes me, because she's laughing at my what? Jokes. Now, I've come to a conclusion that when people laugh at my jokes, sometimes they're not laughing at my joke, they're laughing at something else, okay? So, it's not a good deciding factor. Girls, it's called coquette. A woman who's a coquette is one, a woman who endeavors without sincere affection to gain attention and admiration of men. And woman, you need to be careful of that. Being a coquette. I looked this up, this is pretty cool. Okay? A woman who wants to gain attention from men without any sincere affection for them. She just wants the attention. And guys get misled by that. You're like, oh, I think she likes me. And then they ask her out. She says, no, I don't like you. So, and if you don't know how to stop from flirting, then ask somebody. Am I being flirtatious? Yes. How? Well, you did this. And with the sisters at our church, I watch. You know how they... And you guys have to grow up and learn how to just, you know, neutrally associate yourself with the opposite gender without coming across as, like, strong or, you know, nervous or whatever. You know, be a mature person. You just go up and say hi. You're like, well, if I go say hi, she might think I like her. Well, you like her, right? Then go! And then you throw up and you whatever. They're like, well, good, you just blew it. Now, if she falls in love with that, then man, you really lucked out, brother. Okay? Now, what I mean by this specifically is do not give one girl or one man more attention than the what? That's what flirting is, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, you got a group of girls, you walk up to them, and you're just laughing your head off with one of them. All the other girls like, that wasn't funny. And the girl's like, ha, 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 you know, you're so funny. It was like, shut up. You know? It's just, you know, and you need to be, okay, right? And sisters too, don't just be nice to one. It doesn't mean you have to be nice to everybody. It's just be a normal woman who doesn't show favoritism. That doesn't mean, oh, I gave him cookies. I have to give everyone cookies. Don't stop thinking like that, okay? Gosh, just don't make cookies in the first place. If you're going to make it for everybody, but just be fair. Number four, rather than trying to understand relationship, how a woman thinks, how a man thinks, just straighten out your relationship with God first. Okay? Work on your relationship with God. Number five, number four, two virtues that you want to work on, humility and what? Consistency. When I decide about whether a young man is ready to go into a relationship, just two things, relate, humility and consistency. And that's what you should be looking at too. Number five, this is very important, develop a good, close relationship with an older person that you can trust. Develop close relationship with them. Do you know why? Dude, you get all the benefits. Because if you're looking for a godly woman, she's going to be confiding in a godly what? Leader too. And you get some help from that. Okay? Because you want an older person to tell you what you're doing wrong. Tell you how to change. Because if you're acting like a Gentile, not knowing how to control your own body, someone's got to have to set you straight with accountability. So spend more time developing a relationship with an older person. Okay, get close to them so that you can really open up and you can understand them. Okay. Number six, if you're genuinely interested in the other person, after much godly contemplation and prayer, tell them. It's as simple as that. You know, you think about that person, you know, I really like that person. You know, I think she's pretty godly. And it's only for the guys though, right? Girls, just wait and see what happens. Trust the Lord, you know. Okay? and he's walking towards you to go, oh my gosh, I think he's gonna ask me, and he passes you by and asks the other girl out, too bad. Okay? Guys, if you like a girl, and she's mature, godly, and she's consistently humble, and you've talked it over with a mature elder or whatever, hey, ask her out. Or no, let's not use that word. That's so worldly. What does that mean? Ask you out. Hey, come on. Is so-and-so. And you don't have to make it all like spiritual. I've been fasting for you for 100 days. No. And I've read through the whole Bible because I just want to be biblical. And I just want to let you know that. And I remember this one guy saying, yeah, I'm trying to restrain from my lust. I'm trying to restrain. I have complete self-control. I'm just asking you, telling you that I'm in love with you. Okay? Now, you wish it all work out like that. I know some people are mad because I kind of messed it up for them. Sorry. Okay? But, now, you wait. As a guy, what do you do? She says three things. One, yes, let's get married. You go, woo! You call me up and we celebrate. Okay? Two, no! Then you celebrate. Okay? We'll get chocolate. Right? Or three, she says, I'm not, what? Sure. Ready. Then you know what? You like her, you wait for her. You say, take as long as you want. You pray about it. You know, but please tell me. Soon. And what are you doing at that time? Now you can pursue her. Because you told her, right? I like you. And I'm going to help you decide. Here's a rose every day. Here's a rose. Here's two roses. Here's three. Here's 1,000. Please. Okay? That's okay. Meaning, that's not chopping down a tree because you've already what? Yeah. Now, if she straight out says stop, then you're going to stop. But if she goes like this, I don't know, but please keep going. I don't know. You know, then keep going, all right? Meaning, just some guys are so wimpy. I don't think she likes me because why? Well, you know, look, brother, you're the man. It says, he who finds a wife finds favor from the Lord. Are you looking? No, you've just gazed. Now go, get her. But if she says no, guys, back off. If she says please stop, just stop. And no matter how much you feel, put that aside. Okay? And I think I'm done. This is very important. Now you've asked her out, she says yes, what do you do? Basic principle, be good friends. Can you at least just say the prefix, girlfriend? No. Be good what? Friends. Now, we've messed up that definition of friendship in our society to think that it's something prior to dating, right? No, it's prior to marriage. Up to a marriage, you're still what? Friends. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. He is your sister in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. This last, just please... I know I lied. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's more than 5 minutes. I just want to finish this. This is like 16 weeks of waiting. Okay. Please let me finish. Just 30 minutes. You guys, you know, you guys gonna waste 30 minutes of your life. This is the best 30 minutes of your life. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 2. The older woman. Okay. Verse 1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man. Rather appeal to him as a father. To the younger men, treat them as brothers. To the older women, treat them as what? Mothers, and the younger woman as what? Sisters in all purity. That's friendship. Obviously, the friendship is closer than other friendships. It's okay to be in a kind of like, you know, intimate, you know, close to them, but you still treat them as a friend. What do friends do? Friends want the best for one another. Friends are sacrificial. I'm not talking about worldly definition of friendship. We're talking about biblical agape friendship. Amen? You're not going to harm her. You're not going to make her sin. You're not going to be a temptation to her. You will not do that to your friend. But you know what? Guys who are dating with girls, they feel like they can do that. No. Treat them as friends. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean Okay, that doesn't mean, you know, oh, does that mean I can see, you know, we're friends now, right? We can see other people? No, stupid. This is not a worldly definition of friendship. You're committed friends heading toward what? You guys see that? You're committed friends heading toward marriage. Okay? We're done! Amen! Woo! Alright, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness, your grace, allowing us to get through. We covered a lot. And we thank you for this time. Lord, now we pray for wisdom. And we pray that you'll develop many couples in our church that are godly and biblical, expressing the love of Christ in every way. I pray that there will be godly marriages where the woman will not be ashamed to wear white on that day. The husband can be confident, the groom will be confident that he's done his part to be pure. Lord, as we learn today, may our sole focus be purity. May we be consumed with being pure in every aspect of our being, because this is the will of God. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.